The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. It's episode 528 of The Show Radio. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info, and check out our past shows. While you're there, subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can find podcasts. This episode is going to be with Caitlin Burt. She's a YouTuber, actor, host, streamer. She does a lot of sketch comedy on her YouTube page. She is amazing. She is brilliant. A very, very observant individual. I noticed that when I first met her at E3 2019. We had a great conversation about her and things that she's planning to do with her acting career. So definitely check out this episode. If you're planning to start a podcast, definitely have you covered. If you're using Libsyn, you can use promo code TSR to get 1 month free. Enjoy this episode with Caitlin Burt. Do you rap? Have you rapped at all? You got bars?
No.
Yes, no. You sure?
No. Okay. Well, I slam poetried, but my poetry was in the style of rap because that I'm from Detroit and that's kind of what I grew up listening to. Uh-huh. So it's a weird mix. I don't know what category it fits into. I honestly don't know.
Uh-huh. So you did. You do have bars.
I can neither confirm.
You can't confirm nor deny. You can't lie either. I'm sure you got some bars somewhere.
YouTube, I don't know.
All right, hold on.
Somewhere in the depths of my soul.
Let me see. So your audio's good. Check. My audio's good. Check. Caitlin.
Andrew.
What's up? Yeah. What's up? What's up?
Another day in paradise.
Just another day?
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's good. We're in lockdown mode. We're doing this. How are you?
How are you?
Okay. I think I'm well.
We're gonna battle. We're gonna do the psych battle because you are super smart and observant and intentional. You are you're in the moment when you're having conversations. Yeah? You're never out of the moment. You're a very unique individual. It's rare that I come across someone who is as gifted in their craft as you are, whether you would like to admit that or not. I think, special hey, gifts Andrew. There. Special gifts
well,
there.
Thank you. I don't know about this observant thing.
What do you mean?
I'm going to have to try to observe you a little bit and try to figure this out.
No, I mean, it's real. It's just what I've seen. What I've seen, like when we met at E3 2019, which might be the last E3 that we ever attend.
I know, right? Isn't that sad? But no, we start up conversation immediately and you kind of blew me away. Your insight and you have this like poetic mind. I read your poetry, sir. Yes, you think very differently. And
you
connect
mean?
To people immediately on this deep core level. It's so cool. It's so cool.
What? Me?
Mm-hmm.
I just find it very interesting where we're at a time now where conversations matter like never before, right? And I think that because of this pandemic, we have to engage, right, differently. Whether it's 6 feet away or not, I think that conversations are really important. So one of the things I wanted to do here on this platform, you know, first is to figure out how this stuff works, because I've never really done the Discord stuff until this week.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so that was new to me. So trying to figure that out, having people on, nameplates and all that stuff, and just to really find out how people are doing. So you
it's
mentioned...
It's so important to check in right now. It makes me want to check in. like everyone, especially people I know who are like living alone right now. I'm like, how are you doing today? It's 3 p.m. I haven't heard from you. How are you feeling? What is going on in your world?
So how far do we want to go back? You gave me license. How far do you want to go back?
Man, when I was born, I was like the size of like a little, I don't know. Whatever you want to know. I'm going to retweet your tweet. I should do that, right?
It's all good. Boom. I mean, you don't have to. It's up to you. However you feel. How you feeling right now? You got 16 bars for me, though? Detroit?
Oh, come on. No, I want to hear your, this is your show. I'm not going to like... I'm Detroit not going to show you up like that, not on your own building. Show.
Detroit is and in the house.
And I'm in town right now. I'm in the Michigan.
I've
been living different places over the last year and came back for this scenario to be safe.
So the PJ movie 2020, what is that about?
The pajama party work night. A short ensemble of comedic ladies who have to complete this work project on a last minute notice and show up the misogynist male boss and stuff. And it's really lighthearted and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. You were like a blender. You were doing something with a blender at one part.
Oh, well, yeah. So because this lady's trying to talk to me and I'm not about to hear what she's saying. So I turn the blender on when she's trying to talk. So just lots of little comedic bits this whole movie was full of, because the director he's awesome. And he's got a fantastic 80s mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
80s movies were jam.
So you started acting what year?
Truth. 19. I don't know, when I was 11.
When you were 11. Okay, so so I'm trying to do a little time shift right now. So before 11, what was happening between 7 and 11? Like, what were you into? Oh. Were you writing? Were you doing acting things earlier on around that time before 11? When did you actually realize that, you know what, I definitely want to pursue this thing? Before 11, what was happening right before 11?
I was, I wanted to be an astronaut. I went to space camp when I was like 10, probably.
Okay.
Because it was crazy. This anonymous donor sent all, like, the whole school district to space camp. So I was like super inspired. I wanted to be an astronaut. Realized I'm not so good at math. And I was watching Apollo 13 and I was like, you know what? I'd rather pretend to be an astronaut. I saw Tom Hanks and I was like, That's way better than actually going to space for me. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then
I've never been asked that before.
Is that interesting to you?
Yeah, because it's no, like, people are like, what's the moment where you knew what you wanted to do? People are never like, what was the moment before?
Well, it has to be the moment before, because the moment before is the root of the inspiration, right? It's not just you got here. Right? Something happened before you got here. So pretending to be, a particular profession, right? There was a root of that, you know, circumstances and certain things took place before we even got there. So so why astronaut, though?
Something about the ordinary, the everyday. I always like to have an escape from, and it's not just for escape's sake. It is the realm beyond, the realm of entertainment, of the spiritual, of the otherworldly, like where your brain operates on that different mode, and maybe the realm of imagination, you could say, without, you know, getting religious or anything like that. I think I wanted to bring more of that into the everyday, to make things in the everyday more fantastic and fun and exciting and inviting. And I had a pull early on to help create that and make that happen. Does that make sense?
Well, I want to know why you chose to, and the sentence that you just gave, right, to leave the religious part out. Is there a lot of the religious world that inspires you today in terms of how you're expressing who you are and who you're becoming as an actor?
No. What?
What was that?
Because I'm not a church person. I mean, sometimes I'll drive by a church, but I don't like go in or anything.
Fair.
I get buddy. But the spiritual in general, I think he's always been one of my most favorite parts of life.
Okay.
And I'd like to make it my own and experience it and make it up for myself. Of course, like reading from wide sources and everything, but then having that be cohesive in my own unique views.
Okay. Okay. So in terms of inspiration from, so what were you doing between 11 and 14? Talk to me. Walk me through 11 and 14. What was happening around that time?
That's middle school. Middle school was the best time. I peaked in middle school, actually. Yeah. I was on all the sports teams and I was like the best student in every class. And I was like getting into art and I would take so much time on these paintings and drawings and make them really detailed. And every teacher would be like, I want to clone you and make more of you. And I was like, it was just awesome. I was all-star in seventh grade. So, definitely the peak of everything for me.
So every sport? Were you doing like volleyball, soccer, or football, depending on
swimming?
Swimming.
I did soccer before that, volleyball. Even badminton, I was really good at. Basketball. Mm-hmm. I was on all the teams. All the teams they had.
Were you very social?
I don't know. Yes. I was on the morning announcement team. Did your school have a morning announcement team?
Not that I recall. I know they had broadcasting. I don't know to what degree that they were actually.
It was kind of like that. It was like a kid version of broadcasting where you like talk about what's going on in the building today. Or like today is this day and whatever. So being on camera then. So cool to look back and think about it.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that? That aspect of giving information and sharing information out to people?
Yeah, just engaging people by being on camera, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, who cares about the announcements? Like, there's nothing cool about the announcements.
Right.
One, just learning to, like, do it and not screw it up. Right. But how can you make it fun for, like, this information that doesn't, who cares? So maybe there's a little bit of that early on. Okay. Am I allowed to ask you any questions?
Well, pre-chat, we agreed that it is. But if it's leaning, if the pendulum is swinging too far, then I gotta swing it back to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, I never really liked interviews that really focused on the actual host. If the host is doing most of the talking, I don't think that's a great interview. Mm-hmm. I think that the idea of asking someone to come on your platform to speak, they should be spending 90% of the airtime. That's how I feel. If it's a conversation and we're doing boom, 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 back and forth, that's great. But overall, you should look back at the conversation and say, wow, it was great to learn from Caitlin. It was great to hear her story. It was great to hear her insights. If you can't say that about the conversation, then I failed.
Got it. That was mainly my question was, why do you like to interview? And you just answered it. I didn't even have to ask.
Yeah, but I mean, I just like to hear different individuals, their upbringing, how they're coming up, struggles, and what they overcame, why they were resilient to a particular situation. All those things, I think, really forges the individual that we're looking at today, whether they're doing, you know, acting or they're producing or they're, you know, an audio engineer of sorts. So I think that all those things were foundational in some way, shape, or form is it's usually somewhere between 5 and 13. Usually. Not every time, but it's usually around there. That you kind of get an idea that, you know what? Maybe you get some inspiration during high school times and stuff like that, and certain individuals in your sphere that inspire you to, you know, either push forward for poetry or acting or whatever it is. But there's usually a root. There's usually a source. And I think that tell me about yourself, you're deciding where you want to tell me about yourself. I don't want that.
So you're letting 11-year-old, 7-year-old Caitlin tell you.
I want to go
the story.
Yeah, I want to go with the journey because I'm supposed to be crafting not necessarily the narrative, but how you're placing the narrative in front of the individuals who will be listening and viewing, right? So if that's my mantle during that time, then I have to take that seriously because I can't say, tell me about yourself, Caitlin, right? Since we're chopping shop here, right? And you say, well, you know what? You know, I wanted to become an actor. And you mentioned around the time that you were, you know, doing acting and stuff like that. So now you're driving this vehicle now, which is fine. But if I'm saying turn left, turn right, that's cool too. I think that there has to be a perfect balance. So I don't mind questions as long as, you know, the focal point is the guest, which is you.
Right on. Okay.
So where do we want to go? Where do you want to take us?
Did we get to the root of the route that you were looking for in the past?
Not necessarily. Struggles between those years. What was going on? Any struggles that you care to share? That you want to enlighten us about your life that made you who you are today?
Right. Okay. So we it is coming. Okay, I understand now. I was always growing up, I was a tomboy. Being a tomboy now is like cool, you're empowered and you're strong or whatever. Being a tomboy then was like you're weird. It was not a cool thing to be whatsoever, but I was like, no, I want to play. I want to play hockey. I want to have short hair. I want to do, you know, wear weird stuff. That's how I lived.
Weird stuff and like what? What were you wearing? What was weird wearing?
I would wear like camo and like cargo shorts or like stuff that was
that
cool
Michigan
for like
time
a little adolescent girl to be wearing. And I was in, what's up?
Was that Michigan time or Detroit time?
Michigan. Yeah. Yeah, it just wasn't, and I was in Girl Scouts, and we'd have, like, and Girl Scouts was, like, tea parties, and you had to do these, like, girly things, and I was not having it. I was not. I was, like, the little girl that, like, belch. Like, so, definitely wasn't cool, but it was, like, part of my core, part of my soul that I've had to stay true to and let develop over the course of my life, and really strongly wanted to put it into my art and stuff that I do. But yeah, it was definitely times of struggle, times of being extreme outcast and a weird oddball.
Mm. Outcast and a weird oddball.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of friends around that time?
I think so. Never in the popular crowd or like with the popular girls. I had a lot of neighbor friends that were boys. So, you know, run around, play street hockey and tag. Capture the flag all the time. So in one sibling was a brother, so video games, and I was just raised on all boy stuff.
Older or younger?
Younger.
Younger. How many years?
3 years apart.
3 years apart. Close or?
Yeah, still pretty close, but he's in the army. He's in Germany now.
Okay.
So we're all spread out.
Thank you for serving. That's dope.
Yeah. That's dope. Yeah, he's battling the virus right now.
Really?
He's a physician's assistant.
Okay. So from there, did you find yourself spending a lot of time writing after the astronaut stuff?
Yeah, I would. I loved to journal. I was always in a notebook writing things down, but my mom was and I'm like home now during this whole pandemic. She's probably listening now. She was very nosy. She would like read my journals. I didn't like my journals read. So I stopped writing for a very long time. It's a bummer.
You are still writing now? Because based on some of the videos that I saw, you always had a notebook to reference some of the things that you were reading.
I do. Yeah.
But you weren't necessarily reading at the notebook. You were holding the notebook, but you were looking at something. I don't know if you're reading from a prompter or something, whether it was Invictus or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that one I have memorized, but tons of notebooks in my life, like journaling, notes, routine, visioning, poetry, like always kind of on a daily basis writing a little bit, but all personal stuff or stuff that can be compiled into like a knowledge base later as I'm figuring out things in the day to day.
Okay. So as you're learning about humans, right? Especially as an actor, mm-hmm. because you have a different filter. I like those shows where actors are interviewing actors. I think those are pretty cool on YouTube. I don't remember the actual name of it. But I've watched a couple of those things. And actors are very interesting, even the way they interview, because you're trained, classical or, you know, gifted, however that is, right, to just observe human behavior in such a way that the average individual would never pay attention to some of the things that you pay attention to. I find that fascinating, right? So where did you have a specific training for you becoming an actor? Like, walk me through that.
Yeah, I started taking classes when I was young, but I decided as an adult I wanted some more serious training. So I went and did some classical training. I did improv in high school and beyond, and that's like the complete opposite from classical training. So it was nice to have both of those. And then when I went to college, I got a film degree because I liked on-camera stuff more than the stage stuff. And after my like certificate and the classical training, I kind of, YouTube was my own journey of training myself again. So that was all me trying to learn and get better through making stuff and putting it out in public. And learning on the job, going to a bunch of auditions, and no one like teaches you how to audition in school. You learn that by getting an agent, doing it and failing and trying to figure it out so that you can work.
I thought there was, because I know my daughter, she was looking at AMDA for a little bit, and she's doing like a lot of audio engineering stuff with one of the schools out here in New York. I would like to believe that they give you some kind of audition training just to prep headshots and different things like that. Is there like a standardization that you should be aware of before you actually go to like an audition?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. As far as auditions, headshots, everything, there's a bunch of industry standards, but, and schools will teach you a little bit, but unless they have a current, like a casting director or an agent or someone coming in to teach that class or do a workshop on it, how are you going to know you're going to get the most up-to-date information? Because it does change a bit.
So how do you, aside from YouTube, how do you practice for an audition? How do you prep for that?
To prep for an audition, it kind of depends on how serious it is. I can go all the way to like a coach. I've got a couple of private teachers like that I just have a good relationship with, and I can call last minute because they're always last minute. Otherwise, you just prep on your own, kind of dissect what kind of thing you're presenting, whether it's a commercial or it's a film, and what kind of film, to not determine how it should, like how they want it, but like, how do you want to do it? How do you bring what common sense plus your creative spirit? What's the middle of that? And then depending on what it is, you might leave some room for improv and for loosey-goosey, some funness.
Right.
If it's industrial or something, you might want to like nail it down and rehearse it a bunch, but it's usually work that goes in that helps you get the job in the end, I feel like.
Are you, do you find yourself doing a lot of ad libs for, some of the auditions? Are they strict on the actual lines that you need to remember?
It depends. If it's a TV audition, those are very strict because it has to fit into a very specific time slot in between commercials and for the run of the show. So the writing is very important. Shakespeare, the writing is very important. But some commercials, they want to see your improv. Some short film, maybe it's loosely scripted film. So you have to be strong in both your memorization and your off book, your improv.
So, and your years in the actual industry itself, how has it changed? Can you walk me through that a little bit? Standards and practices and how people do things. How has that changed for you throughout the years since you've been in the industry?
Well, you age into different categories, different kinds of work come in and out. It moved from where I'm at as a union market, where there's a bunch of union jobs, union actors, to all non-union. The pace has moved quicker. They want turnaround on your auditions fast. You'll be doing a self-tape to send it to your agent like on a Sunday night, which super sucks. Headshots are less important as selfies become more important because they don't want to see your headshot of the year. They want to see what you look like today or like this month what's your hair like looking like nowadays, that kind of stuff. So a lot of subtle changes, that and the types of roles a little bit. I can finally start getting auditions as, like, I don't want to say like the strong female or the badass, but like something a little bit more fun, something that's more than like mom, girlfriend, weepy wife, whatever.
Right.
Something, stuff that's like a little more engaging to me. So that has been one of the coolest parts, is to see that start to happen. Finally.
And some of the videos I saw that your hair was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
You let your hair grow out?
I guess. Yeah.
You guess.
I mean, it happened.
It happened, right?
Yeah.
Any particular reason? Or is just style, season, feeling different, changing up?
It was short for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like gradually getting longer as I would cut it not as short. And I found it was much easier to do like long. And then I switched back to a different hairdresser and he was like, longer, longer. And I tend to let the professional do their work. So it was mostly him. It was mostly my hairdresser. I was just like, well, what do you think? Do whatever. Mm. Yeah.
Do you care how people perceive you? Oh, that's
it. Does it depend?
Uh-huh.
Does it depend?
Talk to me.
I've been thinking about this a little bit.
You have?
Because, yeah. Because I think I'm in a lot of ways such a people pleaser. Like,
why?
I don't know why. I will shun entertainment. I will shun things that I want to do in order to get the work done, whatever. But the minute like someone needs something or wants to do something, I'm just like, okay. And I don't know. I haven't got to the bottom of it.
Let's chip away a little bit.
Right? Actors might be that way. I don't know. Not everyone, for sure, but yeah.
Of course, we'll talk about how gaming fits into the whole scope of Caitlin, you know, at some point. How much time do I have? Because I like to be strict on time, too. How much time do I have with you? Are we doing top of the hour, doing 10 minutes into the hour and then 15 out? How much time do I have? You let me know.
That works for me.
Okay, I think. Okay,
so
it looks 10:30?
Like.
It looks like you're. I thought your video froze. Okay, yeah, so. Perception, right?
Yeah.
Extremely important to some.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're all affected by it if we're honest, right? So how do you deal with the fact that you understand that you're trying to please individuals but you can't please everybody versus trying to get some of the things that you want to get done with your aspirations?
That's a good question, because I realize
it sounded good when I was saying it too. So
right,
yeah,
right.
I'm saying,
and I see what you're getting at, because I was thinking about this earlier as well today. We're like on track. So I think my aspirations are definitely more important to me than the perception. As far as work, you have to go along to get along a little bit and understand how you're perceived, so you can cater to try to get those parts. Those are the parts you're most likely to get. But that is not why I do this. It's not why we're artists, and especially actors always like, there's something about transformation that we really like. We like playing something that we're not. We like being in a circumstance that is different from our everyday life, that kind of stuff. And that is what I'm after. So I'm always kind of chipping away at the facade of me to try to bring out very extreme different characters, which I know goes against the grain of, you know, trying to typecast and cast someone as something they could very believably play. It's different, and it's something that I'm exploring, but it's like at the center of the joy of what I'm exploring with the whole YouTube journey, with everything I create. Because, yeah, I don't feel like I meet the facade. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, that's me? That's what I am? That's what I look like? I don't know. I don't know.
So who is Caitlin then? I think for me, I've gotten to a place where I'm pretty comfortable with my voice. I think I'm still battling. The internal battle now is to come to the realization that there's just certain things that I am not going to negotiate on. as it relates to content or, you know, personality or creating and building friendships. And I think that a lot of those areas I feel pretty grounded on. There are times where, of course, you know, you get the imposter syndrome. You're trying to work through the fact that, yeah, I have a catalog of over 500 episodes, but do people actually believe that I produced the 500 episodes? If I mention that, do I even believe it myself, right? YouTube content, you know, the interviews and things like that. So you're still trying to find, you're still trying to accept the growth that has taken place in the last 5 years or 3 years and things like that. So I think to some degree, I still revisit those things. And I think that trying to really focus on, there's just certain things that I cannot change, right? There's just genetically, there's just certain things I cannot change, right? Intellectually, or, you know, whether it comes, whether it's auditory stuff or calisthenics and different things like that, I can learn how to do certain things, right? Production stuff and audio creation and different things like that. And I think that socially, right, I've gotten way better than when I first started, like doing stuff. So I think that there's always a journey of growth, and but there's just certain things, there's certain pillars that, you know, you just have to be okay with as it relates to who you are and who you're becoming as an individual, right? And with that, who is Caitlin?
Can I just be like a dragon?
What?
Purple dragon, like
you want to be Spyro. A purple? You want to be Spyro?
No, Spyro's kind of lame. Spyro's, like, I went back and I played some Spyro, and I was like, this isn't as fun as I remember.
Okay, why purple dragon though? Why purple?
I don't. I just sounded fun right now, but actually, my favorite color is orange. So I have to be an orange dragon.
Okay.
I don't know. There's something very, very colorful and creature-like in my soul. My spirit animal is something fun like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wanted a serious answer, didn't you?
Well, how serious? What kind of answer you have for me? Who is Caitlin?
Is it for me to even know? Okay, so I did take like philosophy. Know that.
There you go.
All the courses.
There you go.
I don't know if I have a good answer. I'm a very silly wannabe tough guy.
Okay. Why?
Yeah.
Because that was a layup. You gave me that.
because I want to build others up.
Okay.
I want other people to actually be the tough guy, the badass. And right. That means I bring it back, and right. I hold myself down a little bit in just in persona, just right. in like a clown. Clowns in the traditional sense in clowning, they're buffoons, and they're putting themselves below the audience to give the audience something to enjoy, to laugh at, and almost build esteem out of. That's where their entertainment value comes from. And I think one of my heroes, Jackie Chan, is very much the same way. Nobody can beat Bruce Lee. Everyone can beat me. It's like my favorite Jackie Chan quote. And there's something that I love watching about silly characters like that. Jack Sparrow was kind of a buffoon, is flopping all over the place.
Right.
And always kind of accidentally saves the day or accidentally gets out of trouble. Something about going through life in a silly nature helps us all not take ourselves so seriously, or kind of gives us instruction as to how not to take ourselves so seriously, or why to not take life so seriously.
Okay. Are you guarded? Is it hard to trust you, or do you allow people to, how is trusting with you and relationships?
It's a good question. I think I'd be, Some stuff gets guarded. But right. I feel like a lot of times I'm pretty open.
Okay.
And I'll give people the benefit of the doubt always until I get that red flag. And then I'm like, nope, And I think I get a little smarter, a little wiser about that every year.
Okay.
How much of... No one's going to make me a scarf for red flags anymore, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So how much
I'll take
of...
one and I'm running.
Just one red flag, though?
No, you maybe you get away with giving me like three red flags.
Three red flags? So in the social space now that we are in, you know, whether it's social media, whether it's the Instagrams, the Twitters and stuff like that, do you find yourself building relationships there, or you're more local when you're building relationships with individuals foundationally?
Dude, that's such a good question, because I just moved to Seattle this past year to build more boots on the ground relationships.
Okay.
My network here in Detroit is large as far as the industry goes, because I love knowing all the people and I love to keep tabs on them. I love to meet up and be face to face with the people that, you know, that I form a close bond with. But online it's super important also. But I'm not good at like texting people, getting back to people. Like, I'm great at staying connected and caring about you. But if you send me like a message through some random thing, like I'm way better in person. Because I will focus. I will zero in on you, and you're the most special person in the world to me in that moment. So I love the in person stuff.
And where did you learn that? Did you always have that thing? Right? Because not everybody has that. Someone's usually on their phone when you're trying to talk to them, or they're spaced out looking at something else when you, but you're really engaged when you talk to people. Did you always have that?
I mean,
you're engaged to the point, like your eye contact game is pretty strong. Like, I noticed
that. I've heard people say, do you not blink? And I'm like, yeah. I'm just interested in you.
yeah. Your eye game is pretty strong.
I found out early, I think, that listening is more important than talking, and giving people attention, undivided attention, makes them feel valued, and it just seems like the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm, I don't know. So, yeah. So where did gaming fit in all this? Because I saw you did the con stuff. I saw you did, you know, PAX 2019 East, right? I saw that.
West. Where did,
was that West?
Yeah, I did PAX West. I was all set up.
Disintegration was West?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, man, I had press pass to GDC.
Right.
I was going to the Seattle Comic Cons, going to the Motor City Comic, all the things. The E3 again, they all got so canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So canceled.
So canceled.
We virus. Just going to dominate the circuit.
Yeah. It's really, really tough, because E3, I was looking forward to that this year, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to go, because at first they denied my credentials, and then I appealed, and then they were like, okay, you're good to go. And then the virus hit, and I'm like, okay, so I guess, but it felt better, because they approved the appeal, which is great. So there's that. So gaming has always been a thing for you?
Yeah. I gamed with my brother growing up. I played World of Warcraft in college way too much, played in between there. And last February, I did a promo for The Division 2. It was like a short film. And
I did see that.
It was the acting dream job of my life at the point. I was like, this is awesome. And getting the types of roles I want in feature films is a steep challenge. It's pretty tough. Long go of it. And I was like, well, I can get more of these roles in gaming. I've done enough work. The roles are in games. Let me go tackle this. And that's when I started covering games, hosting stuff, streaming, and then got myself out to Seattle, met a bunch of game devs, started doing some motion capture and voiceover and trying to get the parts. And then the pandemic was like, go home.
Go home. Okay, so in the last 28 minutes I have with you, right? Because you said 10:30, my time?
Yeah.
Okay, so hard topics. Any hard topics you want to hit before we get out of here? Because I don't want to miss out on anything that we can talk about before we get out of here, because I like to maximize our time. So the gaming stuff you love, any parts of it that you want to do more of, aside from the voice acting and motion capture?
I'd love to do performance capture. So like a face capture or full body or like the body and voice. So you completely, I would own all aspects of the character, really get to interpret and make the character my own and bring as much as I can to that performance. I would love to make something iconic one day, like a character that sticks with people and that they can, I don't know if they'll aspire to be like him, but something that's, you know, likable. Give someone their Rocky, give someone their John Wick. I don't know. something cool someone's gonna like for a long time. That's right. All I want to do.
Sweet. Yeah. Hard topics. Hit me. What do you got? Anything? What have you been thinking about lately? What's been happening since this COVID-19 hit? What's Caitlin been up to?
Dude, so I'm like, I don't, like, my stuff is still in my apartment in Seattle. I don't know if I should, like, renew my lease. It's up in a couple days. Will I just leave it? Can I even pay the rent? Because my job at nightclub closed, like, so everyone's laid off. There's no shoots going on. There's no auditions going on. I don't know where this is going to leave any of us.
Not even digital? They can't do anything digital right now, like, you know, for you to submit if you wanted to?
They're submitting. The agents are submitting for stuff.
Right.
But there's nothing can get scheduled.
Gotcha.
So they're kind of just, like, waiting for something to be able to happen, and then they can actually start sending auditions out and stuff. Until then, people are just going to look at a bunch of pictures and, like, do nothing, I guess. But, you know, I don't have it that bad. I've got a couple, you know, weeks off here at least to work on comedy, so, and read and study and learn monologues, try to keep myself busy, try to keep myself from going crazy.
Right. How much of that? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. And then I'll ask.
No, I was going to ask how much of that stuff that you plan to publish on YouTube. Are you still going to put out more stuff on YouTube, or what's anything planned for that?
Oh, yeah. I got stuff to edit. I have stuff written. I have stuff shot. And I want to write more and then actually rewrite and make something better than I've ever made before. So all that stuff is in the works. But how are you holding? Because you're in New York, right?
Yeah. I'm good. I think we go shopping when we need to. You know, we're good on the standard things like toilet paper, and I may have to make a bread run between now and Saturday. You know, gaming's good. You know, still do that, right? Doing a lot more podcasts this week, and want to connect to a lot more people, new voices, and conversations I've always wanted to have with, you know, individuals, you know, like you and some other individuals that I'm, you know, thinking and considering right now. But I'm great. I'm great. I'm healthy. I haven't slept well the last two nights. I have this weird pain in my quad. I don't know what that's about, but I'm trying to walk it off, and that's not really working. So it took Tylenol before we started today.
I thought you were going to say Tylenol PM, and then you're going to be like, before we started.
Yeah. Yeah, fall off here, right? And but no, aside from that, I'm pretty good.
Sweet.
I've been thinking about reaching out to you for a long time.
Yeah. I'm honored.
I'm glad you came through.
Thanks for having me on the show, boss.
I'm glad you came through.
Because since we don't get to meet up at E3 again, what?
I know. Since we don't get to meet up this year, you know, hopefully next year. Because even this year for June. And the press release that they did send out, they were saying something to the effect of they're going to have some sort of digital event, right? That they were saying, which is good. And we're just looking forward to, you know, how they're going to release. This changes everything for us, right? Whether you've been doing the hosting stuff, or if you decide to do, you know, like commentary of the digital, you know, conferences on your YouTube channel, or if you continue to triple down and focus on the poetry stuff, which I want to touch on because I know I have time, because I'm pretty aware of the time. I really enjoyed the poetry stuff. I watched a good portion of it on your channel. Yeah. I love the different characters too. Walk me through that. When did you always have ideas of those characters that you're going to publish on YouTube? Did that come from your journals? Like, What happened there?
There's certain characters that I've loved since forever. Like I've kind of mentioned Jack Sparrow or Rocky, and they don't always necessarily make the cut as far as something that I bring to the camera if I want to, like, I don't know, revamp or get inspired by that. But sometimes they do. I've done, like, all of the Avengers in one sketch because I love Robert Downey. And so I'll do his lines. But the last January, I made myself a challenge where I was going to do 30 characters in 30 days. So I was basically going to make a sketch a day or, you know, put a bunch of characters in one sketch on a given day. And some of these characters would come off the top of my head. Like, I was going to go do an explorer with his camera outside and be all crazy. But it was so cold outside. It was so cold that I was just, I had to make this character twice as ridiculous so that I could take pictures inside my house and still have the adventurer persona, like a croc hunter, basically, is what I did. I just took pictures like out the window, but I still use my photos from my Yellowstone trip. So I'd be like, snap a picture and then be like a buffalo, which obviously wasn't there, but it's just kind of whatever is funny about the situation and what would be the funniest character to present that situation in the best way. Or it could be something else. Maybe I start with the character and I'm like, I really want to be a demon hunter. So like, what can I have this demon hunter do that might be funny? It's all just like sketch writing, but attacking it from different angles and letting a character come out of it.
Yeah. There was some good B-roll shots. There was one video you had that was about, I think it was like, 14, 15 minutes. There was a lot of B-roll, great shots, mountain shots. I think there was a mini alligator thingy. Videos. Yeah. There were some great B-roll shots in that. That was really dope.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I went on vacation and I was determined to make a video out of it, but I didn't know what I was going to do. So I figured it out from my B-roll after the fact.
Yeah. What did you shoot that with?
GoPros mostly. Nice. Yeah.
No, that was really dope. That was really dope. So the next thing for your YouTube channel, is that your main focus? Is YouTube your main focus? Or are you going to do creative writing as it relates to, because I think you're a rapper and you don't want to tell me.
Okay, I will do rap in a YouTube video and I will send it to you.
I think you're a rapper. You don't want to tell me. So what's next? Is YouTube going to be your primary outlet?
Think so. I see no reason why not, and there's no auditions right now, so I'm just going to hit YouTube hard.
Okay. All right. So as we wrap, any questions for me before we wrap?
What is next for you? What's your next big thing? All these events have been canceled. You like maybe have had to go back to the drawing board or reconsider like what was going to be your thing this year. Like, what do you want to be the next big thing to happen for you?
My desire is to have conversations with a lot of individuals and really get to who they are and how they were forged to be what they are today. So that's one. Next thing is to do the classroom circuits, maybe create some resources for individuals who are considering podcasting or anything like that. I did recently do a resource for a application called Voice Meter, which is like an audio mixer, a digital mixer. And with that, it gives you the ability to record as well as capture audio from different sources. I sent it to one of the professors, and they really, really, you know, appreciated it. So I think my focus now, I think when you're talking legacy or impact, is to create resources that people can go back to and reference, right? And that's somehow became a passion of mine. I don't know when that happened. I always enjoyed giving, but to the degree where it's scalable, where I don't necessarily have to be near it every single time for it to be effective. So I think my desire now is to learn the learning curve for something. And once I figured out if it's enough, if I believe it's ready, that someone who is very young, whether they're like, you know, 8, 9, or 10, can figure it out, right? Then I think the tutorial, the resource is really great, or it's ready to be published. If it doesn't pass that test, in my opinion, then, you know, I got to go back to the drawing boards and look at it again. So I think things like that, trying to focus on those things and just really reaching out to individuals on social media, whether that's Twitter or Instagram, to have them come on the show, you know, and have conversations about who they are, who they're becoming, and gripes and challenges and where they're going from here. So really along the lines of things that I've been doing, but a little bit more focused on the video aspect of things, which is why we're here and this nice little setup here on the Discords and Twitch to capture clips of individuals that, this person has something to say about their journey. And maybe you haven't heard their journey yet. Maybe this is the first time they've taken the time to be on a podcasting platform, and they decided to trust me with that honor to share, you know, some of the things that they're going through. So I think nothing really has changed in that regard, but being better husband, being a better father, right? Those things are really important. And just being more aware of what individuals are going through, you know, as it relates to like family members, even during this time. And I think that people are going through a lot right now, and it's hard for individuals to reach out. So even, you know, with my pride, I shouldn't have to reach out every single time, but some individuals aren't at a point yet where they feel comfortable reaching out to other people. So there are definitely some responsibilities there, you know, as a cousin, as a brother, as a friend, as a confidant to many individuals, and just trying to be a better human being.
Yeah, man. You got your things figured out.
No.
Nah. Priority straight. I want to see more of these tech videos. I love the idea of making tech videos that take complicated hardware, sounds like, the maybe even the software side that's just as complex, and then making it understandable in probably a short video. If you're talking about 9-10 year olds, like, how long are they able to stand watching an instructional video?
Yeah.
Get your work cut out for you. That sounds super interesting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, creating those resources helps everybody. Everybody wins when you create things like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, tied to a particular thing for you to decide to give back, because you don't know who you're going to bless with that. And since YouTube is such a large platform, which you're planning to focus on yourself, everybody sees, you know, what you put out, you know, especially the conversation that you had with Invictus, with the captain of your soul. That whole piece is powerful. And I guess the last question I have for you, and we can begin to wrap, is what's your favorite piece that you've either read or memorized?
Like a monologue or poetry?
Both.
My favorite will go...
Actually, I have one more question.
Poem... After sure, that. Okay. My favorite poem, I think, might be the opening to Dante's Commedia in Italian. I memorized it in Italian, and I don't know why, but I love it. It sounds cool. And my favorite monologue would be Iago from Othello, because he's just so evil. Mm. Like, something about that evil character is just kind of fun to play someone who's just... so angry all the time.
So the last thing I have for you is, as it relates to being an actor, what advice do you give to individuals who are getting into the field of acting? What advice do you give them?
If you're going to go into it, go all in and master every bit of it that you can. There's a business to it. You can really master headshots and how they should look, and that'll help you go a long way. You can master enter the audition room. That'll help you go a long way. How to maybe edit your own demo reels and stuff together so you can leverage your content to the fullest. How to introduce yourself to filmmakers so you can start to be in their projects. There's just so many tiny aspects of it. It just takes a lifetime to really get anywhere with it. So if you're going to go in, know what it takes.
Okay. Caitlin, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Andrew, having thank you. On.
Thank where you can so they much. Find you? Where's your links?
Oh, my stuff is Caitlin Burt everywhere. On that's it on Twitter and YouTube. My Instagram is Kate Sly.
Next movie, next project that you know of? Or a recent project that you want to promote?
Just check my YouTube sketches, because I have short self-made films coming out and comedy stuff coming out. I had a bunch of stuff just wrap that is on the festival circuit or wherever it is now, and it's been canceled. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Caitlin. I really appreciate you. Guys, this will be a podcast as well, so definitely check it out, theshowradio.info. We will stop this video. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you later. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to episode 528 of the show. Caitlin Burt is amazing. Before I give you my takeaways, definitely want to give you a couple of information about my affiliates. Bluehost is a proven powerhouse in a website hosting industry. They offer exceptional customer service. They allow you to host multiple domains under one account, which is super convenient. Check out theshowradio.info/Bluehost to get started for as low as $3.95 a month, exclusively to you. Also, I want to tell you about Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs, news, business, and self-development. Head over to theshowradio.info/audiobook to get your first audiobook free with a 30-day trial. And last but not least, ProXPN. ProXPN is a VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, and allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to. To get 20% off of the lifetime of your account, use promo code SHORAM. And if you missed anything I said in the last 2 minutes, visit theshowradio.info/tools. theshowradio.info/tools. And I'll get you all the links and info on that page, which is my affiliates page. And I'll be adding more to that page very soon as I get more data and grab everything that I have there and put it in one place. So, takeaways. Acting is difficult. Caitlin Burt does a lot of sketch comedy and also does a lot of poetry stuff on her channel, on her YouTube channel. And definitely check her out. That is difficult. And I think that to learn lines and be all in as you're acting, that is not something that is very easy to do. So I respect it. Next thing that I definitely want to share is that whatever you decide to do with content creation, if you're the instrument or you decide to have certain aspects of you be the instrument, definitely do it with passion, because people will feel if it's not being done with passion. And I think that's pretty much it. Episode 528. I guess you can call it in the books. And until next time, take care.